Are ready? Okay. I'd like to call to order the April 19th, 2022 Budget and Finance Commission meeting to order. It is 4 o'clock p.m. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. Ms. Cote, may I have a roll call?
Commissioner Beasley?
Here.
Commissioner Fortunato?
Here.
Vice Chair Mason?
Here.
Chair Salverson?
Here. Thank you. I'll now lead the group in the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, thank you again, everybody, for joining us tonight. Are there any speakers or questions, Ms. Cote? I think you said no?
No speakers, Madam Chair.
Okay, then we do not need to address the call to audience. Okay, seeing that there is no call to audience, the first thing is a staff liaison report. Mr. Gebhardt, please proceed.
Well, good evening, Ms. Chair and members of the commission. Just a few comments for you this evening. I wanted to bring you up to date on the town manager's recommended budget. We were hoping to distribute that in time for tonight's meeting, but unfortunately that did not occur. But we will definitely have it distributed sometime this week, most likely tomorrow. So we've made some really good headway over the last week, especially as it relates to the town manager's budget message, and so we hope to have that distributed. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. Watch your email inbox and so forth. We can definitely discuss that hopefully at the next meeting. The town's class and comp study is coming along. We have approval slated to go before council on May 18th, and basically what that is we've hired a consultant, HR to come in and look at the town's compensation structure and just trying to be competitive with respect to how we're paying our town employees, trying to retain our employees and so forth. And so also just wanted to make you aware of that. That's kind of a big deal. We have slated included some monies in the town manager's recommended budget for implementation of that study to try to bring employees that are not at market level to try to bring them up to market level. So just wanted to make you aware of that. The town's golf courses continue to perform exceptionally well. We just received our March report, our March results, which show that they are actually turning a profit this year, which is an amazing turnaround and success story from just a few short years ago. So all good news there. You'll be hearing reviewing the February results with the monthly financial presentation this evening, but just wanted to kind of give you a heads up on that. So really, really good news there. And last but not least, Jack Longley will be joining the BFC next month. He is scheduled to be approved by council tomorrow night, so he could not participate at the meeting this evening, but we're looking forward to bringing Jack on board. That will complete our board with its full membership of five, and so we're excited about that. Jack is a retired CPA, so he brings a long history of financial expertise to the board that we are excited to leverage moving forward. So with that, that concludes my comments this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gebhardt. Next, Allison, could you please read in item number one?
Agenda item one, review and approval of the March 15, 2022 regular session meeting minutes.
Okay, are there any questions from the commission members? Okay, then I'd like to request a call for a motion.
I move the minutes be approved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. We've got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes. Item number two, please, Allison.
Agenda item two, discussion and recommendation of draft PSPRS pension funding policy for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023.
Okay, are there any questions from the commissioners?
I have a couple.
Right, go right ahead.
Third line from the top of the page. We have maintained compliance with new statutory requirements. Can't we just say with statutory requirements? Because I don't think they're new anymore.
Commissioner Beasley, yes, that's an easy fix.
Yeah, I have more. On page two, the note to the trust fund, middle of the page, it references $27.6 million deposited in July of 22. We're not there yet, so I think that should be July of 21.
Correct. That is that's an easy fix as well. Thank you.
My third comment is on page three, first bullet. And we had a bit of a discussion on this last time. It reads right now, to maintain the funding ratio goal of 100% based on funding availability. I'd like to see the period be after the 100% and cut out the funding availability. And the primary reason for that is the pension obligations are very much equivalent to a debt obligation of the town. And you wouldn't have that type of phraseology in there if you had to make a debt principal and interest payment, because it is what it is. And I think we have all struggled for a long time to create a policy and then fund this thing so that it's at 100%. So I think that kind of clarifies that we want to keep it around 100%, because we say it's a goal of 100%. So that's not completely hard and fast, but awful close to it.
Any discussion or comments on that? Dave?
Is there consensus that that is the direction of the Budget and Finance Commission?
Yeah, I think it's, budget availability is always a big thing in putting the budget together. And obviously you're going to have certain expenditures that you're always going to prioritize. But again, I don't mind it being there. I don't mind it taken out. So I'm easy either way.
I guess I would have a question. Is there any, if it doesn't say based on funding ability, are you then stuck with having to pay, versus if it says based on funding ability, you have sort of a way out or a little bit more flexibility? I agree that we want to be at 100%. We work very hard on all of this to get there. But I don't know if it puts you into a corner there.
Madam Chair and members of the Commission, I'm not opposed to removing the language. This policy does get updated on an annual basis. If it came, if push came to shove and we had a recession, a deep recession in the future where funding was significantly, our revenues were significantly impacted, and that caused some challenges there, we could certainly reinsert the language at that point in time to update the policy. That's certainly not the case this fiscal year, or for next fiscal year. So I think our outlook is still pretty strong at this point. Again, you'll receive the budget soon, but you'll see, that the budget is structurally balanced. It is a strong budget. I think it's based upon current economic indicators and factors, and yet conservative in terms of looking at the potential for a recession in the future. So, I don't want to get too much into the weeds here. I'm okay with removing that language if that's the request of the commission and hearing what council's take is, because they may have a different view on it. To me, I'm not stuck on this. It's not a hill I'm willing to die on.
Okay. Thank you. So do we need a motion to... Any more questions?
Just one more comment on under payments on page 3 or in FY24, the 110%, I just think it's kind of high. I was thinking more around 105%. I know every time that we do get a valuation, we get a two-year out there, so we could see if we're in trouble. I just think that the whole purpose of was not only fully funding our pension obligation, but, if we could save some money and put money toward the debt service to help take care of that, that would be a good idea. So it just seems to me if anything above 105 is for us to continue to add money to, would be maybe money could be spent on something else. That's just my thought.
I think it's important that we do have a band that we can look to. How specific we want to get, I'm not sure. But that's my only comment. I'm indifferent.
Again, this is something that we can change if necessary in a future year, correct?
Yeah, if I may, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, that 110% was a request by former Commissioner Newell, and I think there was some good logic and reason behind that, just in terms of if the performance, the plan's financial performance, investment performance, did not pan out for a couple years, it would still, again, there's a little bit of a lag between when the actuarial report is received by the town versus when it was the period of time that it's actually calculating. And then even further in terms of how that gets reported in the town's financial statements. So I think there was just the sense that if there was underperformance in any given year, that would allow enough flexibility for the town to adapt and adjust to deal with that appropriately moving forward by increasing contributions and keep at that 100% level. If we did reduce it, again, I'm not willing to die on this hill, but if we did reduce it down to 105%, it makes it a little more challenging. Certainly, we would update the policy, and we would do what needed to be done to try to address that moving forward to get it back up to 100%. But there's a little bit less wiggle room there, and I think that was the intent behind the 110% number.
If we made it a range, because it just seems to me you'd want to have the same capability if it was 105%, and at that time you felt like that was sufficient, you could then say in the budget we could use. So it just gives, I just think it gives some leeway that do we have to be above 110% to have that leeway, or if you're at 105%, you would probably maybe still want the leeway, at least the opportunity to make that decision, either to add more money or to not.
We all have to remember that the liabilities that are being estimated in here are estimates. And so the funding ratio itself is going to bounce around depending upon a combination of investment performance and changes to actuarial assumptions. So it's we just need to create some flexibility in here. What that range is, I have no idea.
Okay. Any more comments or thoughts? Okay. Now, do we need to have a motion or not have a motion, just a motion to recommend what's been put together with the changes? Okay. So we had four changes. I think the first two were easy.
If I may, Madam Chair, so is there consensus to reduce the 110% to 105%?
Sounds like they want to keep it at 110, so that's fine.
If you made it 105, or if you did a range that was a smaller range, it doesn't mean you need to get it down to 105%. Is that true? No. It just gives you flexibility.
You're making a decision.
You make a decision then, right, based on the situation.
Right.
But it gives you flexibility to do that. Whereas if we keep the current language, you can't take that money and apply it elsewhere.
It'll all depend on how it gets budgeted. So I.
I kind of like to leave it alone.
Okay, I think.
That's fine.
Okay, well, and we'll see how it goes. Like you said, you can change it next year, right? See how things play out with this. It's all kind of new. Okay.
I make a motion that we recommend this policy with the changes as outlined.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. All right, the next item, Allison.
Agenda item 3, presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2021-2022 financial update through February 2022.
Thank you. See if we can get the everything working. It looks like it's working.
All right. Good afternoon, members of the commission. I'm pleased to be presenting our update through February. At the outset, I can report that things continue to look very positive. We've made some upwards adjustments to our revenues as we are now two-thirds through the way of the fiscal year. So we'll jump right in, cover the funds as we typically do. Starting off with the general fund, you can see local sales tax compared to last month. We've been able to bring up that year-end estimate quite a bit, starting to scrub our contracting year-end estimates a little bit better. Some of the last couple months of those collections have looked very positive, I think possibly as a result of the high permitting activity that we saw last fiscal year, and now the sales tax trickling in from that. But again, we are at $17.2 million through February. That's already just a smidge over 81% of budget. We are expecting to come in about 23% over budget, which is about $4.9 million. So, again, we're doing well in all categories. In addition to contracting, bed tax, restaurant and bar continue to look well, as does retail. Our state shared revenues, don't believe we've changed that estimate since last month. We are seeing some positive trends. Obviously, we're seeing the collections from the new Smart and Safe funds this fiscal year. We mentioned that last month. We are at about $9.6 million in collections through February, which is about 70% of budget, and we are expecting to come in about $540,000, or just under 4% over budget for that category. Our charges for services, we've mentioned that our recreation revenues are seeing quite a bit of improvement from COVID impacts that we saw last fiscal year. So those are trending higher than expected. We were pretty conservative with our budget there. You can see we're already at almost 70% of budget, or $1.7 million in actuals, expecting to come in about $127,000 or 5.3% over budget. Licenses and permits. Single-family residential permits have actually looked quite good the last couple of months. We've seen a little bit of a boost on those, but still the main portion of that budget overage, that positive variance you're seeing there, is commercial activity on the commercial building side. We are at actuals of about $1.7 million, which is already 91% of budget. And we are expecting to come in at about $2.2 million. That's about $350,000 or 19% over budget. And again, construction driving that. But we have the last couple months seen a little bit of improvement on the residential side as well. Our grant revenues, that is primarily our ARPA dollars that we are expecting to recognize this fiscal year. And then our all other category is such things as our intergovernmental revenues, primarily our IGA revenues from the RTA for our transit agreement, interest income, and other miscellaneous revenues. In total, those areas are expecting to come in about on budget by fiscal year end. So in total, we have actuals of about $34.8 million in general fund revenues, which is about 74% compared to budget. And we are expecting to come in at about $53.1 million for the year, which is about $6 million or about 13% over budget overall. And again, that's due to primarily the outperforming sales tax collections and positive trends that we're seeing in state shared revenues and permit revenues. Moving on to the expenditures for the general fund, our personnel actuals are at $17.9 million through February, or about 58% of budget. We are expecting some savings by fiscal year end. That is just due to some turnover, vacancies, refilling of positions, all that good stuff, kind of across several different departments for the fiscal year, looking to come in at about $29.5 million for a year-end estimate there. Operations and maintenance, things trending about on budget there. We are at $16.6 million in actuals, which is about 75.6% of budget. Again, that $10 million PSPRS payment is already in there. You're looking at a year-end estimate of about $22.1 million for O&M in the general fund. Our capital, the large variance you see there for the year-end estimate is our improvements, our Westward Look budgeted improvements. Some of that's going to roll over into the next fiscal year. That's really driving primarily all of that variance there for capital. And then our transfers out. Again, as we've mentioned, we don't need to do a principal payment on our pension obligation bonds this fiscal year. It's just an interest-only payment. So that is the variance you see there with the transfers, about $2.3 million compared to the budget of $7.3 million. In total, we've spent in the general fund about $39.3 million, which is about 64% of budget. And we are expecting to land the year at about $58.5 million. That's $2.7 million or 4.5% below budget. Again, the main variance being the transfers out for the pension obligation bond debt service. So chart for the general fund, revenues of $34.8 million compared to $33.6 million last fiscal year. On the expenditure side, obviously we have our $10 million PSPRS payment in there. You can see actuals of $39.3 million compared to $25 million last fiscal year. We budgeted a deficit or planned use of fund balance of about $14.2 million, and we are now looking to bring that down to an estimated use of fund balance of about $5.4 million. That would land us at about $27 million in a FIR fund balance by the end of the year, which is about 50.1% of budgeted expenditures. And that does exceed Council's 25% policy by about $13.5 million. Moving on to the Highway Fund, I don't think a whole lot's changed since February. We had mentioned that our HERF revenues are trending quite well, and so we've been able to bump up those year-end estimates. You can see through February, the HERF dollars are already at about $2.6 million, which is about 71.4% of our budget. And we are expecting to come in about $3.9 million for those revenues. That's really driving the overall variance in the fund. We've got total revenues in the fund of about $2.6 million or 71.6% through February. We are expecting to land an actual about $3.9 million total revenues in the fund. And that's about $265,000 or 7.3% over budget. And again, that is the positive trends we're seeing in the HRF revenues. For the expenditures in the highway fund, personnel, just a smidge of savings we're expecting to see there with just refills throughout the fiscal year. We spent in personnel costs about $729,000 or 60.3% of the budget. For O&M, we are expecting those to come in on budget. We've spent about $335,000 in the fund or about 54.3%. Capital as well, expecting to land on budget there. We had our Lambert CIP project in there as well as our payment preservation. And you can see those dollars have essentially pretty much all posted at this point, probably a few remaining expenditures for our pavement program. You can see we're at actuals about $2 million compared to a budget of $2.3 million or 89% of budget and showing us coming in on budget at fiscal year end. In total, we've spent in the highway fund about $3.1 million or 75.4% of our budgeted expenditures. We're expecting to come in just a smidge under budget due to some of those slight personnel savings. Jumping to the chart for the highway fund, we have actuals of $2.6 million this fiscal year through February compared to $2.4 million last fiscal year. Expenditures, $3.1 million this current fiscal year compared to $2.2 million. That's probably just the timing of when the capital is hitting, since capital is really the big chunk of expenditures in this fund. As a reminder, we did plan to use fund balance of about $443,000. Due to those positive HRF trends and the slight savings of personnel, we are expecting to use only about $157,000 of fund balance in the highway fund, and that would bring us to an ending fund balance of about $1.1 million. And last but not least, Community Center Fund. We did receive an updated estimate from our contractor for some of their year-end estimates. Things looking very positive. I don't know if you had noticed in the communication to the item, but we are actually not expecting any subsidy from sales tax for those operations. Once you account for where they're expecting to land the fiscal year, plus the HOA contributions, a positive number there. That's very exciting. So I did want to point that out. We'll go ahead and jump into some more of the details here. Contracted operating expenditures, as I mentioned, very positive. We've got just under $3 million collected through February. That's already about 82% of budget. They're expecting to come in about $4.4 million in total for the fiscal year, which is about $770,000 or 21% over budget, just trending higher than expected in really all categories, strong performance in their golf revenues and member dues as well. Town operating revenues, we've mentioned before, we did budget conservatively here, just not knowing with COVID, but those have far exceeded budget. We're already over budget. We've collected about $714,000 in revenues for that category, 102% of budget. And we are expecting to come in about $287,000 or 41% over budget. So positive trends and member dues and some program revenues. And then the other revenues is primarily our half-cent sales tax. We've been able to bump that number up as well relative to the general fund, and the trends there carry over to this fund. So we've got about $2.4 million in other revenues through February. That's about 76.5% of budget. And we are expecting to come in about $3.6 million in total. That's about $550,000 or 18% over budget. So again, that's our half-cent sales tax revenues, our HOA contributions, and then some smaller categories like interest income and that sort of thing. In total, for the Community Center Fund, looking to come in just over $9 million in revenues for the fund. You can see we're already at just under 82% of revenues collected. We're expecting to exceed budget in total by about $1.6 million or 21.7%. Moving on to the expenditures for the fund, contracted operating expenditures, they've spent just under $3 million through February. That's about 63.7% of their budget. They are expecting to see some personnel savings and O&M savings in total, expected to come in under budget by about $230,000, or about 4.95% for the fiscal year. Town operating expenditures, we're seeing those trending pretty much on budget there. We've spent about $656,000, or 60.4% of budget, expecting to land on budget in that category. Capital as well, we spent about $62,000 and are expecting to land on budget in that category for the fund. And then the transfers out and the large variance you see there, we only have an interest-only payment on the Parks and Rec bonds. We did budget principal as well. So that is the variance you see there. In total, in the Community Center Fund, we've spent about $3.9 million in expenditures through February. That's just under half of the budgeted amount of $7.8 million. We're expecting to land on under budget a bit, about $6 million. That's savings of $1.6 million for the transfers out, and then also some of the savings in contracted operating expenditures. Here's the chart for the Community Center Fund. Revenues, you see that large improvement over last fiscal year, $6 million collected compared to $4.6 million last fiscal year. And then the expenditures up a bit, $3.9 million compared to $3.5 million last year. We did plan to use fund balance in the Community Center Fund of about $400,000. We are now looking at an estimated surplus of $3 million. That's attributable to the transfer out variance, as well as the positive revenue trends. We are expecting to end the year with a fund balance of about $5.7 million. That concludes our presentation. We'd be happy to take any questions you may have.
Anybody have questions? Go ahead.
The highway fund revenues. Is all of that gas tax?
Chair Silverson, Commissioner Beasley, the bulk of that is, I believe. I know with the HERF distribution is comprised of some vehicle license taxes too, but I think the bulk of it is probably gas tax. I'd have to look and refresh myself on that convoluted formula that they've got of everything that feeds in there. But a lot of that is probably gas tax. I know gasoline sales in general have jumped quite a bit after the pandemic, yeah.
But the state hasn't changed the actual tax level for gasoline, has it?
They have not. They have not. It's based on the number of gallons.
A couple of questions. The end balance for the community center of, I think you said, $5.7 million. Is there any plan to use that or transfer it, or since we're doing so well?
Well, Chair Silverson, I mean, we do need to keep in mind that we are going to have full Parks and Rec debt service in that fund moving forward. So, you know, we are going to see that full principal and interest payment next fiscal year and then ongoing for the term of the bonds. The positive trends in that fund, quite certainly, yeah. I mean, they open up opportunity to maybe look at some of that we may have not been able to do previously. So we will definitely take advantage of those as they arise. Yeah.
And then I think we're at, in the red, 32,000 with golf right now. What do you think the number is going to be at the end of the fiscal year?
Oh,
I didn't see an estimation. I just am looking at the Biden. He's got a little bit of a different format than what you guys provide.
Yeah, let me pull up that sheet real quick. Yeah, in terms of their projections for the details, I don't have those in front of me. I know we've got their estimates for their categories, their main categories, you know, golf, food and beverage. But some of those additional details we can definitely report back on. I don't have those in front of me at the moment.
I had another question that was just sort of a silly question. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was on the community center page, and there was interest income, and it was like, percent higher than budget.
Yeah.
Not the numbers weren't great, but the percent sure was.
Yes, Chair Silverson, Commission members, Obviously, yes, that caught my eye as well. You know, I think that's most likely attributable to just the large balance that we've got in that fund right now that we, quite frankly, probably were not anticipating. We had the full debt service transfer out budgeted in there, and so just did not plan on having that large of a fund balance in there. The interest is allocated based on cash balances in the fund, so that's I'm certain that's what's driving it.
It was pretty big. Okay. Any other questions? Questions? Okay. Thank you, Wendy.
You're quite welcome.
Okie dokie. Next, we've got council liaison comments. So, Mayor Winfield, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Salverson. Commission members, we have a council meeting tomorrow evening. There will be presentations in regards to an arts program and then also the PSPRS presentation that was in this meeting a few months ago. I certainly want to make you aware of the upcoming budget meetings scheduled for May 11th and 12th. Those will be here in the council chambers and will begin on or about at 5 p.m. So I hope that you can join us for those. And that's my report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Winfield. Future agenda items. Does anybody on the commission have any future agenda items we'd like to add?
Will the budget include the not only the westward look, but the unnamed conservation group up there, yes.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, yes, the budget will include capacity to make improvements to the former Vistoso Golf property, which we're still trying to figure out what the right name of that is as a town. And what was the other item? The Westward Look, yes, Westward Look improvements. The Westward Look improvements, as I understand it, the roadway improvements, we anticipate that those will be completed this fiscal year. But in terms of the landscaping and monument improvements that will be needed to be made, those will probably happen next fiscal year. And so there's capacity, should be capacity in the budget for those.
Okay, anything else? Any other suggestions?
Well, just one quick question on the Vistoso land. Has there been a detailed plan? It hasn't been a detailed plan set up of how that's going to operate at this time, has it?
Vice Chair Mason, Chair Salverson, members of the commission. There's a plan. I don't know how detailed it is. We did go out to bid for a maintenance contract to bring that back in line, as well as make improvements so that we can open up the restrooms and that sort of thing. So there is a plan. I'm not really the right person that can share the details of that. That'd probably be our Parks and Rec director. She would have more information on that, but I just kind of see the financial aspects of that plan as it's played through with the budget request for next fiscal year.
Okay, so commissioners, are we asking that? No, we don't want further information, or we'll wait to the budget for that.
Will that be discussed in the budget in May?
Vice Chair and Madam Chair, I could be. We'll see. I mean, it depends on the level of the questions. Again, I don't know how. I'm not really the one that's. I mean, if you would like the Parks and Rec director to be here to answer questions and whatever, we could certainly make that request. But she would probably have the most information as it relates to what those specific plans are.
I think I'm hearing that we would like to request to add that to a future agenda item, to have a debriefing on the new purchase, our new park, and also with specific consideration of the financial implications. Concept, what is the plan overall? All right, anything else? Nope. Okay. Wow, it's early. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We are adjourned at 4:40.